Praise the Lord, ladies. I want to first sing a song. This song was actually released during all of our lockdown and craziness that was going on in the world. And I want to sing it today. I told everybody at home, even though I didn't write it, it's my song. But y'all worship with me while I sing, and then we'll move on. Hour is dark, it's hard to see what you were doing here in these rooms, where this will lead. Oh, but I know over the years I'll look back on this moment and see your hand on it and know you were here. And I'll testify of the battles you've won, how you were my portion when there wasn't enough. I'll sing the song of the seas that we've crossed, the waters you've parted, and the waves that I walked, singing, oh, my God did not fail. The story I'll tell. Oh, I know it is well. Oh, it's the story I'll tell. When there wasn't enough, I'll sing the song of the seas that we've crossed, the waters you've parted, and the waves that
You know what? All of us have a story. And that song, although it's like I said, it don't belong to me, but it's my song. I want to first give honor to Bishop and Sister Sutton, Pastor and Sister Collins. Thank y'all for your friendship to the Phillips family and entrusting me to speak at DOK this year. Also, I would like to give honor to the DOK directors, Sister Brooke and Sister Julie. Thank you, and also a great big shout out to New Life Church for hosting this event. I'm so honored and proud to have some of my crew with me today from New Bethel. These girls mean a lot to me, Casey, Chloe, and Anna. And it also means a lot to me to have my closest friend in all the world here with me today, Megan Addison. Last but not least, I give all the glory and honor to God for allowing me to wake up today with renewed mercy and his breath in my lungs. You guys can stay seated. I'm going to be very unorthodox today. Honestly, I have wrestled for weeks on what I was going to share today. It's personal. It will be very vulnerable at times. But I know, I knew yesterday morning, and I was in the hotel room, and all the girls, they were all asleep, and I got up, I went ate breakfast, I came back, and I closed myself off in the bathroom, and when I started talking to God, I knew immediately, okay, this is where you want me to go, God. I'm going to go reluctantly, because this is a very sensitive and tender part in my life. With that being said, we all come from different walks of life. Your story isn't my story, and my story isn't yours, but we all have a story to tell. But it matters who is writing your story and the choices you make in that story. I've often wondered how in the world my brother and sister and I were all raised by the same parents in the same home, and we're also different. We have similarities, but all of our strengths and weaknesses are completely different. Our opinions, all three of us, greatly differ. None of us agree on anything. And yet, we all have the same blood flowing through our veins, and we grew up under the same roof, we have the same parents, but we all have our own story and our own view of life. I've never been able to fully understand either how all these siblings being raised under the same roof, going to the same church, believing the same thing with the same parents, yet one of them can stray away and walk away from God and the things of God. It's kind of ironic how closely the natural and then your church life also, they just seem to parallel. And we all come together as the body of Christ. We're all different. We all come from different walks of life. We've all walked different avenues to get where we are today. And yet we all have the same Heavenly Father. We congregate and come to the same churches with the same fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Pastor can preach a message, and we can all tell you something completely different we got out of the message. Every one of us. And power of God can sweep through the room, and you can say, well, I experienced God on a different level than you did today. But overall, yeah, God was here. That was great. That was an awesome move of God. So with that being said, I'm going to tell you my story. I was born August 9th, 1991. Late in life baby to my parents. My father was a pastor and my mom was an author and a speaker. I lived your typical preacher kid's life. Nothing short of conferences, camp meetings, and everything in between. Church was my life. It's all anew. As a child, we would pass by the church on the highway, you know, coming or going somewhere. And I would cry because we didn't stop and go in. And because it was all I knew. And I was 11 years old. I told the girls this last night. When I was 11 years old, we were having a youth rally at our church, and there was a lot of people there, and our musicians got stuck in traffic in Baton Rouge and couldn't make it to the church. So my dad said, well, you can do the music tonight. I had never done music. I knew two worship songs that I felt comfortable playing. And he said, well, you go out there and you're going to play and sing tonight. And I was like, Dad, no, there's everybody and their mom's here. I ain't singing and playing in front of them. And he said, yes, you are. You know how to play. Get out there. And I'm telling you, he pushed me beyond my limits that night. And then after service was over, he was like, you did such a great job. I feel like you need to take over the music here at the church. I was like, really? I knew two songs. For 3 months, we sang two songs. The same two songs. Finally, my dad was so congenial and kind and loving. And he said, is there any way you could learn a few more songs? I was like, yeah. Or you could take back over. And he was like, no, get you some more praise and worship songs. You know, we need to move on. And I said, yeah. It was, I feel like praising him. And we worship you. And it was the same slow and fast every service for 3 months. Anyway, I begged and pleaded not to do it, but God was preparing me for bigger plans. And my life was great. It was wonderful. But at 15 years of age, it took a harrowing turn I never saw coming. February 7th, 2007, at 7:22 p.m., I lost my hero, my security, my pastor, better known as my daddy. I began a long journey, a very dark road of hard grief that turned into bitterness and anger, unforgiveness, the list goes on. And I began to wonder if I even had purpose in life. I contemplated and almost acted upon taking my own life at one time because I just wanted to leave it all. I sat through service after service unmoved. I had no feeling. I had become callous and disconnected. And when you can sit in a service and everyone is experiencing a move of God but you, that's a scary place to be. I'm telling you, everyone in the house of God was responding in some form or fashion, and I just sat there. I was so cold and angry. One morning, I got very sick. I couldn't walk. I was hurting so bad in my abdomen, and I thought, I'm going to die. Well, I wanted to die. It was great. I wanted to die. My mother grabbed me up. She brought me to the emergency room, and she said, you got to get a hold of yourself. I said, I didn't care. They started running CT scans and taking blood and doing all kinds of stuff. And when I got out of the last CAT scan, they were transferring me from the table to the wheelchair. And I was still in excruciating pain, but I passed out. And when I passed out, I heard the most evil laughing. And it was almost like the devil was like, I won again. And it like disturbed me in my unconscious state. And I was fighting to come back. And I was like, I didn't know what to say or what to do. I could just hear. And it was like a party was going on. It was the most evil music and laughing. And it was like, that's hell. I realized that is hell. And I said, God, get me out of here. You got to get me out of this. I can't stay here. This is not where I belong. And I came to a bunch of nurses and doctors and everybody around me, just slapping things on me, connecting me to stuff. And I just come, when I come to, it was just like a, oh God, I really did just experience a piece of hell. I didn't feel flames that day. I didn't experience anything like that, but I heard hell. I heard it. And my mother, everybody was around me, and my mother was standing there, and she just had my arm, and she was rocking, and she was praying. And I thought, God, I really am in a bad state. Still, I was so cold and emotionless. I walked into my house one morning, and this is something you never want to hear your mom or your pastor say. I've laid you on the altar, she said. I said, what? She said, I've laid you on the altar. And I was like, okay, well, what does that consist of? And she said, I can't do no more for you. I have prayed till I can't pray no more. And I have fasted till I can't fast anymore. She said, you've got to get a hold of yourself. And that scared the life out of me. And I knew it would only be God that could help me, even if he would bother. I would love to say after that hospital visit that I immediately turned over a new leaf. And that it was all it took. But I continued the road of no return. It was during this time I met Mr. Jacob Phillips at youth camp. And he was too struggling. He liked to call it being backslid on the pew. And we began to talk about where we were spiritually. And we became great friends that week. Thank you. I left mine somewhere. I didn't see it then, but God had some great big plans ahead of me. Not long after camp, we were engaged, and he moved to Louisiana. One night, I'd had a dream that there was destruction waiting for me on the highway that ran in front of our church. I woke up the next morning and went throughout the day. I never really gave it much thought till later that evening. I was hit by a drunk driver in front of our church on that highway. I laid in the hospital room and I began to cry. And I said, God, I know you're reaching for me. Mercy was doing everything to call my name. And I said, God, what could I possibly have that you could use? What do you see in me? Do you see how broken I am? If you could even begin, the journey and the process of this healing would be too great. It would be too much. And you almost are at those points in life where you're like, I don't really want God to leave me alone. But right then I was done. Just stop. I shouldn't be alive that night, but I was released and sent home with only 4 fractured ribs and a fractured jaw. If you've seen my vehicle, I don't have pictures of it now, but it literally, the whole driver's side of my vehicle was in the middle console. I should be dead, but God had some reason to keep me here. And I told God that night, I said, God, I'll give you this word, and I'm making a vow and a promise to you that if you'll give me another chance, I won't fail you. And do not commit to these words that I'm about to say that I told God unless you were really willing to do it. I said, I'll do, and I'll go, and I'll be whatever you want me to be. Whatever you ask for me to do, God, I'll do it. A few months later, September of 2009, I became Mrs. Jacob Phillips. We found out we were expecting our first child, in November of that year, 2009. One night, I was attending a prayer revival in February of 2010, and I began to have complications, and I had a nurse in the church. I sent for her, and she came. And she said, you need to go straight to the emergency room. And she didn't alarm me or anything. She just said, you need to go. And I said, okay. And right there, on the same month and day, at the same time, 7:22 p.m., I began to miscarry. Exactly 3 years after I'd lost my dad, I began to cry and beg God, why would you do this to me? If you've not seen, I've lost enough. You know, sometimes we get there with God. Do you not see? I've done been through enough. You know, our pastor says it the best. When we totally undo that scripture where he says, oh, God will never put more on you than you can bear. But Brother Robinson said, it's not that way. He will give you everything you need to go through what you're facing. And he's there for you through the whole thing. It's not about being too much for us. Because he's there holding us every step of the way. And as I began to cry that night and beg God, I was like, God, why are you doing this to me? And if I've ever heard the voice of God in all of my life, I heard him then. And he said, you told me if I would give you another chance, you wouldn't fail me. I was like, I did, God. I did. I made that promise to you. And I won't fail you this time. The scripture says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless me not only one baby, but two beautiful children. I have a little boy and a little girl, the best of both worlds. But just remember, if God takes something from you, he's going to give it back to you and more. Rest assured. It may not come in the form of a person. And I may have to lose my daddy and walk through some things. But it's so worth it when you see a baby of God be praying through at the altar. And you see God move and be effective in your husband's ministry. And when you fall in those footsteps, let me tell you something. There is nothing that you're going through here today that God don't see and he don't know. And he sees those that are close to you that you've lost. You may have not lost them to death. They may have walked away from God. But rest assured, God sees that. He sees the loss. And he doesn't just deliberately do things to hurt us. People make choices. It matters, as my husband preaches, it matters who's writing your story. It matters. I ended up traveling for a while with the Help Me Heal International Conference. I would teach a few breakout sessions that would help with grief and loss, and with I would also help them out with their music. And one day, I had a mother and daughter that accidentally ended up in my class. And I was teaching that day on loss. And they were supposed to go to another class, but whatever happened, they ended up in mine. And I was just like, yeah, y'all stay. Don't worry about it. God ordains those kind of things. And I was like, y'all just sit down. It don't matter. And so I spoke on loss and losing my dad. And at the end, I said, you know what? I don't know why I feel this, but everybody in here, let's just raise our hands and begin to pray. And I looked back there, and the mom was falling apart, and then she's looking at the daughter, and the daughter just started crying. Well, later, after the session was over, they came up the front, and they were talking to me, and they said, she introduced herself, and she said, this is the first time my daughter's responded since we've lost my husband. And I said, oh, wow, you've lost your dad. She was, at this time, I was in my early 20s, but she was about the same age that I was when I lost my dad, around 15, 16. What it was her dad and mom was counseling someone that was not within the church. And this person got the wrong idea through the counseling of their marriage and such and took the life of her father, cold blood. And they had come to that conference seeking help. And just by happenstance, but I don't believe in happenstance, they happened to be in my class on loss. And she said, this girl has not responded, talked, cried, or anything about her dad's death since he's been dead. And she said, today, if you saw how I was acting back there, it's because it's the first time I've saw my baby cry. And I said, oh, my God. And I grabbed her, and I prayed for her. And I said, okay, God, I understand. Somebody else is going to go through something, and you're going to help them through it. You remember that. If I leave y'all anything today, everything that you're going through has a purpose. Every pain, every situation, it has a purpose. You're going to help someone down the road. They need your story. They need to know that there's a God that don't fail. And they need to know that there's rivers, raging rivers you've walked through and crossed, and God brought you through them. They need that. And more than anything in this day and age that we live in, they need to know there's hope.
We came back together that night after the breakout sessions during the day, and it was the final service of the conference. And I watched with such great joy as that baby not only received a blessing from God, but she shouted from one end of that church to the other. And I heard just recently that she's now married to a preacher and has children, and they're very successful in their home church. But what if I didn't experience my story? Or what if I wouldn't have committed and said, God, I'll do it, and let him heal me and do what he wanted to do with me? What if my testimony wasn't there for that girl? Yeah, I still do believe God would reach her in some form or fashion. But this is my story, and it may not be the same as yours. But we are all broken, and we're hurting, and there are things going on deep within, and issues that we shove down and we don't deal with, and eventually they overwhelm us. I used to tell my husband, I'm like a volcano. It's going to erupt. I'm just stuffing it all in, and eventually it's just going to explode. And when it does, you and the kids take cover. Go away. Not long after we were married, God called my husband to evangelize just for a couple years. Then we settled back down and worked full-time ministry assistants at my home church for nearly 4 years. Then God called us to evangelize full-time in 2015. And if you've ever seen a big kid cut a fit, I kicked, screamed, acted a fool. I was embarrassed of myself. I was like, I ain't doing that. Why would I? We have great life right where we are. It's stationary and it's stable. You're asking me, God, to go on an unstable journey? Have you lost your mind, God? A travel trailer with two kids. The road. You want me to homeschool them? Okay. I'm going to be honest. I thought there was no way. And for a while, I just want to build your faith here, because we all need shots in the arm every once in a while. My husband and the kids and I had been evangelizing for like 6 months out of his truck and a 5x8 utility trailer. And I was so desperate at that point. You know, God will make you want things you don't want. I didn't want a truck and a trailer. That was the last thing on my mind I wanted. But he'll make you desperate for those things. I was like, God, give me a trailer. I'll do it. It's 6 months in and I can't take it no more. And we were staying in preachers' houses and hotels, and it was a different city and a different state all the time, and I was done. And I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought for sure there was no way we would be able to get an RV. If you're a first-time evangelist getting out on the road, you understand, and if you've been there, I understand. I thought, okay. He said, I'm gonna call a few RV places, because I can't handle studying with you and the kids in a hotel room. And I was like, well, we can't handle having to be quiet all the time. So you're going to have to find somewhere to go. And he was like, you know, sometimes the pastor's offices would be an option. But when it wasn't, it was a very cramped up lifestyle. And then there was those pastors where you just wanted to stay at the hotel. No, we don't need anything. We're great. Me and the kids will be quiet. There was one preacher in particular, every Sunday morning. I just got Jameson back to sleep. I've been up since 2 with him, screaming. He would come at 6:45 a.m. on the dot. We stayed in their house. And he would sing to us through the door. And I was like, I took pillows and would lay them over Jameson's head where it would be over his ear, but he wasn't smothering. And I would look at Jacob, tell him we are sleeping. And he was like, oh, I've been up talking to God. I was like, I gotta go back to bed. I'll see you at 10 minutes after 10. And knows all that, the craziness. And that's when God finally was like, oh yeah, well, I'll make you want that RV. You know, at least it was mine. So my husband made a few phone calls, and we finally got hooked up with a wonderful salesman. And he said, I'll let you know if we get anything. And he called us one day, and he said, come look at something. Well, we were like 20 minutes away, and we had to drive an hour and a half to go look at it. And he said, I'm so sorry. It just sold. He said, but I got another one. I've got another one y'all can look at. And I was like, that's the one I wanted, though, Jacob. And he was like, I'm sorry. He's like, we're just going to go. He said, smile and be kind and just go with it. I was not sleeping much. I had a very young child, and I was very edgy about this whole evangelizing adventure. And so I'm going to tell you, I told the girls last night, those envelopes and letters work. I know my husband preached it here at New Life. But you get that letter, and you write it out, all those things that you want and you're needing from God, and you get it in that envelope, and you get it anointed, prayed. All of, if you've seen our envelopes, me and my friend here, they're rough looking. They've got tears, snot, travail, everything on them. I keep mine in my Bible, but I wrote a list. I was like, God's being cute, so I'm going to be cute. Number one, it had five things. I wanted a residential refrigerator. I wanted a washer and a dryer. I wanted a king-size bed. We have two kids. I wanted a full-size bathtub. And I wanted white distressed cabinets only in the bathroom. And I laughed to myself and said, God ain't going to get all five of them things in one trailer. And so we got there, and we walked out to this trailer. He was like, I'm just going to show you this one. We just got it in on trade. I'm sorry we sold the other one. And I walked in there, and the first thing I saw was a residential refrigerator. And I was like, king-size bed. Oh, yeah, two. Washer and dryer, three. That's standard. I thought, God, you're real good. You're good. And then I laughed. I said, there's no way. It's two more. I opened the bathroom door, and there was that full-size tub. And will you guess what color them dumb cabinets were? White distressed cabinets. And so the salesman comes up and he's like, I don't know, this must have been a custom order. I have no idea why those cabinets are in that bathroom. And I was like, I do. And so he said, well, I'm gonna quote you, the MSRP is $100,000 on this trailer. I was like, okay. And he said, but we're going to sell it for $70. And I looked at him, and I walked out the door. And down the stairs, the salesman's back was to me. I was looking at my husband going, and I went to go on my walk, and he said, but, and he turned around and he looked at me. He said, would $36,000 work? And I walked back in there. That was the exact number that we had to be at in order to get the loan. And I said, you said $36,000? And he said, yes, this trailer was brand new. The people bought it just because they wanted a new one of the previous one they had. And it still had plastic on the carpets. It still had plastic on all the stuff. Nothing hardly had been used in it. And God gave me that trailer with two bedrooms. I didn't even pray about the bedroom. But I got two bedrooms with four bunks in the back, a second bathroom, the washer, the dryer, the white distressed cabinets, the king-size bed, and all of it. Because God said, oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to show you. I can do it and more. So with that being said, that's just your little injection of faith today. If you go out on the limb, he won't leave you there. He won't. And God has been so good to me. Do I still struggle? Yes. Am I human? Yes. I still have moments of anxiety and fear and insecurity. Greatly. I'm flesh. And my most famous saying, and those that are here that know me, they know exactly what I'm fixing to say. I have to go get in the carpet. And you know what that means? I have to find myself under an altar, or I have a piece of carpet at my house that I pray on. I have people even taking bids for that carpet when I do move out, because I will not be taking that rug with me to my new home. But they want to purchase it because I've prayed on it. And it's nothing, but it's that piece of carpet. It means something to me. It's where I put my nose down, and I became humble before God. And I say, look, God, here I am, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Help me get this under control. I can't live like this. And long story short, God has been very, very good to me. And my story turned out to be beautiful, although it didn't look like it was going to be. I now, long story short, direct music full-time at New Bethel Church in JS, Mississippi. And my husband still evangelizes full-time. We're so blessed, and I can't begin to tell you how humbled I am that God decided to pick up my pieces and put them back together. Sometimes you think, God, you kind of left me how I was. I was a pretty good-looking vessel. But no, it's the broken ones. It's the broken things that God picks up and puts back together and makes masterpieces out of. Masterpieces. I didn't get where I am today just overnight. It took a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, and a lot of God one-on-one time with me and me begging Him to help me and to deliver me. I received a call this summer while I was directing music at a youth camp, and it said, she's not going to make it. She's been hit by a car. You've got to pray. I got dressed immediately, and I went to the tabernacle, and I cried out to God for mercy. I was so distraught, and I said, God, how? Why? You see, for protection, I'm going to change her name. I'm talking about someone that was close to me when I was a kid. Her name was Leanne. We grew up together. We went to the same church. We heard the same preached word of God. We were raising our families in this church. Leanne, you see, was the illegitimate daughter of a backslider who used to be a known prayer warrior. Her backslid mother couldn't stay clean from the lifestyle of drugs. And Leanne would try to live with her mom from time to time, hoping things would change, but it never did. Because her mom's addiction, she couldn't function in life and take care of her daughter. Leanne seemed to be back and forth between her mom and her grandmother's house. And during the time she would go back to live with her mom, she would just hope and pray and beg her mom to come back to church. Leanne would talk one day about how she wanted to be a preacher's wife. Her biggest thing in all the world was, I want to be a preacher's wife. And I wouldn't mind being able to play or sing, but all I really want to do is be a preacher's wife. She had such a desire to be something for God in her early teen years growing up. But up and down with the spiral of her life with her mom, she walked away from God for a small amount of time. Then she finally moved back in with her grandmother, who was a great prayer warrior and a pillar of the church. And with determination, she turned over a new leaf in her life. She prayed back through. She was faithful to church. And just like any normal teenager, she had her ups and downs and things she struggled with. But it wasn't long she became a great prayer warrior herself. And she eventually married a preacher in the church. And they went on to evangelize, and they worked very faithfully in our local church. But one day, everything changed. Leanne lost view of what she had prayed and fasted so hard for. And she lost a few, and history began to repeat itself through her. She became like her mom. She turned to drugs and the promiscuous lifestyle. And she eventually lost all of her children to the dad who was backslid and now walked away from God to pray, with a call to preach too. I received a picture just last week that made me fall over my bed, and I cried. Very long time. And I begin to ask God, how? God, we grew up together. We went to the same church. We sat on the same pew. We heard the same messages. She had every ingredient in life to be successful, even though her previous life was chaos. God, what in the world caused her to choose such a path and leave it all behind for such an empty life? Yes, she is still alive today. And God is merciful. And He's still reaching for her. And she did come back to church after that accident and pray for a long while. But there are some in this room under my voice. It's not all of you. But there are some that are like Leanne and your eyes have gotten off the prize. We were preachers' wives, evangelist wives, out of the same church. We had the same mission in mind. And my point today is we all have a story. It has loss. It's got chaos. It has pain. And it has brokenness in it. And things that we never even want to discuss. And even though it gets very hard at times, and you can't seem to put one foot in front of the other, I want to tell somebody here today, it's worth it. It's worth it. Philippians 3, verse 14 through 15 says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If you think in any way that your life is going to be any better away from God, you're sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. Revelation 12 and 11 says that you are an overcomer by the word of your testimony. You know what you do when you want to overcome? Start testifying. You know how many people are out there that have similar stories to you? It may not be the same. They need to hear what you have to say. If you're struggling here today, number one, I'm going to say, go get in the carpet. Number two, start sharing your testimony with someone. You're an overcomer by the word of your testimony. Is it easy for me to stand up here and give y'all a very short synopsis of what my life has been like and my story? No, it's not. But you know what today? I feel like I'm taking one more big step in God today because I've shared with you my testimony. I'm here. I'm here talking to you only because the grace of God and because God can take broken things and put them back together. Sometimes we want to hide the things that we go through. We want to hide the things that we face. But God's given you that story for you to share with someone else and to help someone else. The world and the environment we live in today, if you can say, just think about it this way. If you're getting out and pumping gas and the lady across from you pumping gas, she has a story. And it's probably chaos if she doesn't have God. Everyone does. Even those, it's like I told the girls last night, you can scroll through your social media and see everybody and it looks like their lives are so well put together. But let me tell you something, behind those 30 filters and everything else that they go on post on there, there's a lot of chaos in their lives. They're not happy. They're searching for happiness and the things that you have. You have that happiness. You have that joy. You have access to it. If you don't have the actual joy of the Holy Ghost and the happiness, then you need to find it. You need to get in the carpet and find it and get that connection with God. I agree with her. We need connections with our brothers and sisters in order to strengthen. You got to strengthen one another. You know what? You may even have a sister sitting next to you that needs to know your story and where you come from. Tell them where you've come from. Express to them if they may need that word of encouragement just to go on. And I'm going to tell you today, I never dreamed in a million years that when I was walking down that dark, cold tunnel of life, that God would place me right here to share my story with you. I have said this to so many people, and I say it again today. God wants to use your story. And nothing you go through here on life is just for naught. It all has a purpose. Everything in life has a purpose. If y'all would stand with me. And I want you to get just a glimpse of whatever it may be. Some of us may be broken. And some of us may have it all together here today. If you do, I want to shake your hand. And please do share. But everyone has something we're going through and facing in life. Every one of us. And it may be big, it may be small, whatever it may be. I want you to get that one thing in mind. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to do something that COVID restrictions absolutely restricts it, but we're apostolic, blessed God, and covered in the blood. I want you to put your hand on your neighbor. You don't have to hug them up. Just put your hand on them.
And you don't have to know their story or what they're going through, what they're facing in life. But why don't you strengthen one another in the Lord today? Why don't you pray for that sister next to you? You don't know what she's facing. You don't know what she's going through. But if you would pray for her, like you would want someone to pray for you in your broken state. Encourage your sister in the Lord today. And know that none of our stories are the same, but we all have a story. And we got to share that story. And we're overcomers by the word of our testimony. God, I ask you, you would draw us together, God, in this last day in a spirit of unity, God. And that you would use our stories, God, to reach the lost and the broken, God. And that you would use them right here in our local churches, God, wherever we are from. And that you would take these stories, God, and you would make masterpieces out of these broken vessels, God. And that you would anoint each and every individual in here, God, with a love for prayer and fasting in your word, God. And that you would be with us, God. Encourage us today, God. If someone's wanting to walk away from you today, God, I ask you to draw them by your spirit. God, that they would come to you and they would return and say, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll pay the price, God. God, because it's about the prize of the high calling, God. I want to do it. I will be what you've called me to be. I will do what you've called me to do, God. Give me the strength to push forward, God. Oh, Jesus, we got to have you, Lord. We've got to have you, Lord. We've got to have you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ooh. Lord, let your healing balm flow in this place, God. Heal the broken, God. Mend those, God, hearts. Oh, Jesus. Help us to reach beyond the four walls of our churches, God. Give us a last day revival of the broken individuals, God. We believe you, God, for doing it, Jesus. We believe you, God. We believe you, God. We believe in you, God. We believe in you, God.
On now. Woo. To me, it sounds like God is all reaching out to us and saying that we have worth, we have value, we have a story, and we are chosen. That's the thing that I'm hearing throughout this conference. It's pretty amazing that God cares enough about us to hear him say that we all have a story and we all reach to someone. We're all called to be a light. Not only are we called to be a light and we're chosen, but we are commanded to be a light by God. And we need to make sure that we are sensitive and that we have eyes to see and ears to hear what God wants us to do and who he wants us to reach to. And just be a light and light someone else's candle along the way. It's beautiful. I want to give these ladies a round of applause. They did amazing. And we're about to dismiss for lunch, but Sister Julia has some lunch announcements.
Thank you, Brooke. So I know I'm standing in between you and lunch, so I'll try to be really brief. But just make sure you look at your lunch slip. If you have an orange slip, we have two tables. You'll see them when you walk in. If you have an orange lunch slip, you will go to those orange tables. And when you get to your tables, you will pick up a tray and the labels for what you ordered that matches your lunch slip will be down there. And who ordered vegetable soup? Does anyone remember? Okay. All right. So Panera forgot the vegetable soup, and I apologize. So, but we do have extra of other soups. We have plenty of tomato and plenty of broccoli cheddar. So I hope that is okay with those that ordered. And whenever you go down there and you eat and you mingle and all that, I just want to remind you to make sure you complete your surveys. There will be a table in between the desserts and the drinks where you'll put your survey and you'll write your name on a slip and drop it in a bowl. Make sure you drop it in the bowl because we have 4 giveaways that we're doing, but you have to complete your survey first. And we're going to use the honor system. Please don't write your name on your survey because we want it to be anonymous, but please don't just put your name in that bowl because you want to get something free. That's all. So, Sister Sutton, I meant to text you, but would you mind standing and praying for lunch? Okay. Amen. So ladies, y'all can get up and you will follow the signs to lunch and shopping. We'll go all the way down to the left, down some stairs, and you'll be there. So thank y'all so much.